Good evening, church. We're both of the youth choir and the adult choir are just a blessing tonight, and I appreciate you singing from the heart. You know what you're singing about, and it shows up on your faces and shows out through the Spirit moving. As you sing it, man, it moves the heart of man. And it sets a great platform for preaching. I think good singing and bad preaching will make a good service every time. You've got the good singing, now comes the bad preaching. But it's good to be here this evening, good to be back in the Lord's house. Brother Chris wanted me to announce Mind, Soul, and Body on Friday night, 6 o'clock. And then 6 to 7 was what, Chris? Basketball. And then 7 o'clock would be the devotion. And then after the devotion would be volleyball. And there's always something for the little ones as well. Do I have a volunteer to do the devotion at 7 o'clock on this coming Friday evening? If you're going to be there and you'd like to volunteer, slip your hand up real quick, and then I'll acknowledge it, and we'll go on down the line. If not, we start drafting people. Somebody want to do the devotion? Anybody got a... Paul, did you put your hands up, or are you fixing your glasses? There have been many of the horses bought and sold at auction because somebody decided to scratch your ear. Anybody want to do it? Brother Chris will be doing the devotion then. I don't see anybody's hands. How about that? Is that good? Justin, you volunteering? If you have a copy of God's Word, go with me to the book of 2 Timothy tonight. By way of announcement and prayer request, Sister Lori Burgess is still in the hospital. Sister Lori's down there with some blood pressure issues. It's very high, trying to get her blood pressure regulated, and she is still in the intensive care unit. She went to the ER yesterday, and they put her straight in the ICU, and she's been there ever since. And she's doing a little better this evening, and hopefully and prayerfully will be able to be released tomorrow. That's not a definitive answer, but if she continues to improve, hopefully they can get it regulated and send her home. So you pray for Brother James and the kids as they make visits, and also Sister Lori. They've asked no visitors back in the intensive care unit. It gets crowded and congested back there in that little area. So you just pray for her. That'd be great. And then don't forget the others that's still praying for those at home. Brother Potts has been having difficulty breathing. So you pray for Brother Potts. And remember Brother Tam's dad and Jan's mom and Steve's mom and Kippy's mom and Steve's dad. And well, we got a lot to pray about. Don't forget to pray for the ones that you know to pray for. Just they're all around us. Miss Ray had fallen a little while back, so pray for Ray Fall. Each and every one, just raise up somebody. Get you a prayer request and write these things down. And just I'm sure you'll be blessed by taking them to the Lord, and then they'll be blessed by the prayers. We're going to take care of an anointing tonight for Sister Ginger. She's had some health issues that she's wanting to just get taken care of, and what better way to do it but than to bring it to the Lord. And we'll take care of that here very shortly. So, man, I love my church. I do. I love my church. I was a little bit put off at the last church whenever Brother Kim, somebody come up wanting some anointing. And I'm looking around. I'm like, where's that anointing oil? And they said, we don't do that up here. And I'm like, uh-oh. So we fixed that, though. They do that there, too. And we went out to the fellowship hall, and we got some olive oil. Hey, what do you think's in this bottle up here? What do y'all think's in this extra virgin olive oil right here? Hey, this is no magic. There's no magic potion in here. But what it represents is something very, very special. That's the oil of gladness. That's the Holy Spirit, what it represents. Tonight, we're going to be in the book of 2 Timothy. And we're going to, before I have you stand and read a little bit, let me just talk a little bit. I've been praying for some lengthy time about a Wednesday night study. If you'll remember, we went through the church covenant on Wednesday night study. We took, I think it was 11 or 12 weeks, and we looked at that church covenant. Brother Gwen even had a copy of your book whenever we went through that and kind of made some references and took some gleanings from there. I don't believe we have to reinvent the wheel every time that we have to do something. I don't believe that. The Bible says there's no new thing under the sun. So we milk a whole lot of cows, but we churn our own butter. But anyway, we took several weeks and looked at the church covenant. You said, did you preach that thing verbatim? No, I used the scriptures that are supported by what's on that wall. But anyway, we did a relationship study on Wednesday night. And we did relationships between us and God, God and man, parents and each other, husband and wife, parents and kids, kids and parents. We had a relationship study, and we went all through the different relationships. But what the Lord's leading me to now, and I don't know if it's ever been done here, it hasn't since I've been your pastor, but I want to start a study of the major doctrines of the Bible. If somebody comes up to you and says, where do you go to church? And you say, I go to Calvary. And then they say, Calvary what? What they're hoping for and what they're getting at is, what do you hang your affiliation on? What is your denominational belief system? What are you? Are you Presbyterian? Are you Catholic? Are you Baptist? Are you Lutheran? Are you this? Are you that? And a lot of times, I'm just being honest with you, whenever you say that I am a Baptist, I'm Calvary Baptist Church, a lot of them, in my neck of the woods where I work and where I'm, where my daily labor is, they will push me on that. Why? Because most of the folks there, we've got about 63 ministries within our post office, and they have P.O. boxes, and a lot of them are non-denominational. A lot of them are affiliated with one thing or another. They're holiness, they're this, they're that, they're Pentecostal, and they want to know why I'm a Baptist. They want to know why we are what we are and what we believe in about certain things, and I'm okay with that. Dashiell can bring it to me. That's okay. I don't have a problem people asking me questions. Now, the foolish and unlearned questions, I'm going to avoid those because the Bible teaches me that they don't do anything except gender strife. They're foolish and unlearned. And where'd this one get his wife? Did Cain and Abel, did Adam and Eve have a belly button and all this bunch of junk? That's neither here nor there. It doesn't make a difference to me if they had a belly button to drug the ground or they didn't have one at all. I really don't care. But I'll tell you this, we need to know the major doctrines, the major teachings of the Bible. I'm not going to put a label on it except to say that it'll be the major doctrines of the Bible. I know there's some studies out there, and you'll go search them yourself. You'll find they're called Baptist distinctives. And that means what is distinctive toward us that are Baptist. Why are we Baptist? And then anyway, we'll get into that as we go through the series. It's probably going to be about a 6-month study. And just to let you know some of the highlights of the things that we might cover, we'll look at the doctrine of the Scriptures. And you need to know why we use the King James Bible. We need to know that. I mean, it's important because a lot of churches don't use it. Now, listen to me. Whenever I preach through this, I'm not using this to set you on a warpath to go around the communities in which we live and try to straighten every other church out. That's not why we're going through this. But if somebody sees KJV in the newspaper because we've got a little ad that runs weekly, or they see it on our sign, or they see it on our website or something, they need to know. And if they come to you, you should be able to readily tell them why we use the book we use. You should be able to tell that. That's just one of the basic tenets of our faith, or one of the basic doctrines of our belief system. And let me just give you the definition of a doctrine so that you'll understand. The doctrine is a principle or position of instruction taught as a truth. So it does me very little good to come up here and render a doctrine on opinion. Because everybody in here, all 200 of us, would have an opinion. If you can't support it with that book, or you can't support it, then it can't be a doctrine of truth. So we will go through all that. I want to do this. The Lord's leading that way. We'll go through the doctrine of the Scriptures. We will look at the doctrine of the Trinity. We will look at the doctrine of the Father. We'll look at the doctrine of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We'll look at the act of creation. We will look at Satan. We will look at sin. We will look at angels. We will look at demons. We will look at cults. We will look at the virgin birth and the crucifixion of baptism. You say, why are we going to go through all of those? Because some of you in here right now still believe that whenever you die and your soul departs from your body, that all of a sudden you are translated into that of a being called an angel. My friends, you do not get angel wings. Okay, are we all right to this far? I'm sorry to inform you, you don't become a cherub or a cherubim. You do not become a seraphim. You do not become anything of the angelic sort. You don't, Brother Tam, you don't get wings. You say, man, I was hoping to be one of those. Maybe you were hoping to become an angel. Some of you, my wife is an angel already, but not in the sense of which you think I'm talking about. She is an angel to me. God give me an angel. But I'm talking about it in an earthly sense. She's a darling. She's a princess. She's special to me. And therefore, she's my angel. I've got a baby angel over here sitting beside of Jake. That's my daughter. She's a baby. But listen, she's not an angelic being created to bring honor and glory unto the Holy One. That's just not who they are. They've never been that. Brother Kenny, they will never become that. It's just not going to happen. You say, well, how'd that come about? Well, a lot of you go on Facebook and all your social platforms, and whenever somebody dies, and say, hey, bless God, they got their wings. They got their angel wings. Fly high, angel baby. Fly high, my baby girl. Fly high, my mama. Listen, we don't become angels. And we'll look at the doctrine of angels. when it comes time for that study, the doctrine of the resurrection, the second coming, the rapture. The second coming, Brother Gwynn, and the rapture are two distinct different things. They're not the same. But a lot of people in the church, Brother Kenny, they think it's the same thing. The second coming and the rapture, they're synonymous one with the other. They're not. It's two distinct things separated by a 7-year period. So, and we'll get into that. Justification, regeneration, eternal security. But we can pull up park right there for a while. Brother Jody, there's people probably in here tonight that believe that once a man's saved, he can lose his salvation again. My friends, that's not the position of your pastor. That's not the position of the church. We put on our church website. If you go in there and read our statement of faith, Brother Gwynn, we believe in eternal security for the believer as is recorded by the Scriptures. And that's what you're going to hear over and over, as recorded by the Scriptures, as recorded by the Word of God. There'll be others that we will study the doctrine of salvation, of repentance, of sanctification, and all these other things. But it's going to be a lengthy study. I'm going to try. Brother Kenny slowed down enough Wednesday night, or so he said that he did, that he might be able to teach us about. He taught, if you were here Sunday night, he taught or preached basically about the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit being a person, a he, not an it. He is a person. And whenever you preach it and teach it in the way that it's supposed to be, that is then doctrine. It is teaching, if you will. So anyway, we're going to, as we begin this major study of the major Bible doctrines, the Lord laid it upon my heart to do that. And we'll be doing it on Wednesday evening. But like, let me say, and I told him in the prayer room, whenever I say this, it's not, it won't preempt another message. If God puts a message on my heart, we'll break off of that. I'm going to come in and I'm going to say, folks, I told you last Sunday night, that tonight we'll be studying the doctrine of angels. But tonight the Lord's led me another way. And if I can, I'll give you a heads up so that you yourself can get in the Word of God and start gleaning from the truth that's found therein. But it won't preclude me, or it won't exempt me from just breaking off and saying, Brother Gwynn, you got a message tonight? And then I'm going to sit down, you're going to get up and you're going to preach because God's given you the message. And I'll back up and we'll take pause for the times that we might study for or have a revival and other things. But anyway, we'll yield to God whatever God says to yield. So anyway, that's kind of what we're going to be doing for the next little bit, so that we're all on the same page and so that we're all understanding. That's why we're doing it, Brother Tam. We all were affiliated with this church. We're not affiliated with others. We're independent in our thinking. We're dependent on God, but we're independent in our association. We're not associated or affiliated with other churches. We're not in the Southern Convention or the Stone Mountain Association or Brushy Mountain Association. When you're in those, you're aligned with them, the churches and those people. And not only them, but you're aligned to their doctrine. You're aligned to their belief systems. And if you're in the Southern Convention, if we get a liberal moderator for a while and they think that it's okay to ordain women and put them on the deacon board or whatever, then guess what? By association, Brother Tam, you're right there with them. Why? Because you're in that association. I like being independent. I do. We're dependent on God, but independent of other belief systems. But if we're going to be associated one with another and be in full unity one with another, we need to have a great understanding as to what the Scriptures say about these certain things. It would be a tragedy for one of y'all to go out of here and somebody asked you the position of faith on some doctrinal issue, Brother Tam, and just not be able to come to the same conclusion. Brother Gwynn say, well, I believe that you're saved when you get saved, but you're not always saved. And I know you don't take that position, but that would be a travesty. You got two preachers coming out of the same church, and one of them saying that you can lose your salvation, but another one saying that you can't. To me, that would be a shame. Why? Because that would be showing confusion among the ranks of the church. And God is not the author of confusion. We'll get to the bottom of that very quickly. You say, well, you can't persuade me to think your way. You can't teach me to think your way. If I show you in the Scripture, and the Scripture's right, and I teach it that way, then you're wrong. Now, if you can show me different, you can show me the Bible, then I'm wrong. And we'll fix that really quickly. A lot of people say, well, we're Baptists because John was John the Baptist. He wasn't John the Methodist. Help us. So anyway, let's go into the Scriptures, chapter number 2. Of the book of 2 Timothy, we'll get you on the right place. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. I would invite you to stand and give reverence to the reading of God's Word. There's many things that we're going to hit on tonight. Brother Chris saw all my sermon notes up here and he started getting a little nervous. But don't get nervous, Brother Chris. It's all good. Do you realize if you come in here in Preston in your arrogance or in your alter ego, You say, there's no need for me to study. Chris, you get up here and start to preach, say, there's no need for me to study. If God wants me to preach it, I'll preach it. He'll put it in my mouth and I'll preach it. If you do that, you might as well, to me, go ahead and turn and sit down. You know why I say that? Because you just violated what I'm getting ready to read. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter number 2, we'll pick up the reading in probably about verse number 12, 13, 14 down through there. Just read a few there. We'll pick it up in 14 and then we'll jump over into chapter number 4. The Bible says in the book of 2 Timothy chapter number 2 in verse number 14, of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to subverting of the hearers. Now listen, this is what I say. If you come up here and say, I ain't studying, I ain't going to study. If God wants me to preach, he'll put it in my mouth. I've heard people do that. I've heard people say that. I'd hate to be the one that does that. If you're standing in your own volition, in your own power, and in your own might, you're going to fall in your own mess. I'm serious, Brother Gwen. I heard that old story about a young preacher. He getting up, he just announced his call to preach, and he's trying to impress everybody, especially the old preacher, the one that just stands in the gap, that stands up here, hardly ever leaves the book board. And that old preacher, he just calm as he can be. He comes up and he goes down and he just preaches the word of God with humility, a humbleness of heart and mind, soul and body, and he just preaches. That young preacher comes up and he's going wild and kicking over the communion table, kicking everything over. Everybody's staring at him like a calf at a new game, wondering, where did this madman of Gadara come from? And he's just preaching. He preaches for all about 8 minutes, tore up everything in the church. And then while everybody's staring at him, no altar movement, nothing. So he turns down and gets into altar himself, weeping uncontrollably. And then he talks to the old preacher after the service and he said, preacher, I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened. The old preacher said, if you'd have went up like you come down, you would have come down like you went up. Do you understand what I'm saying? If he'd have gone up in humility and lowness and meekness, then he could have come down shouting and rejoicing. So the verse of Scripture is verse number 15. Study. And that's what we're going to be doing in the next several Wednesday nights. We're going to be studying. We're going to become students of the Word of God. It says, study to show thyself approved. And look at the next two words. Unto God. You're not studying to show thyself approved unto your neighbor, to your internet buddies, to the one down the street, to your wife, your husband, your children. The Bible says for you to study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, if I were to give you the definition of yet again of what a doctrine is this, it is a study of a principle or position as instructed or taught as truth. What is truth? Is there an absolute truth? The world says there's not a truth anymore. There's just a big mess of mumbo jumbo. Everything's a gray area. Brother Tam, there is a truth. If you don't believe that there's an absolute truth, then you don't believe the Word of God. Jesus said that I am the way. What's the next part? What did he say? The truth and the life. That his word is true. Let every man be a liar, but his word's true. So when we say there is a truth and we're going to teach the truths of the Word of God or the biblical doctrine of the Word of God, we are going to study the Word of God and we're going to rightly divide the Word of God that we might be approved by God and prove ourselves before the Holy One that makes it possible for us to even be up here tonight. We flip over to chapter number 4. Many times you've heard this message, or many times you've heard this scripture used in a message. I will read about 3 or 4 or 5 verses, and then I'll let you. We'll have prayer, and I'll let you be seated. Paul, writing to young Timothy, said, "I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering." And what's his next words? And doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth. There's that word again, truth. And they shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, and make full proof of thy ministry. Now, you're on the same page. Look over to Titus chapter number 2 in verse number 1. Speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. The Bible said that in verse number 3 of chapter number 4 of the 2 Timothy in chapter number 4, that the time would come that they would not endure sound or solid biblical teaching. They would not endure sound doctrine. And here it is, and Paul's telling Titus now to speak things that become sound doctrine. Brother Gwynn, ask God to bless us, my friend. Amen. The things that we will study, the things that we will look at, are not there for you to become argumentative with anybody at your workplace. They're not there for you to go to your sister-in-law or to your mother-in-law or to your father-in-law, to the church up the street or the pastor down that lives across the road from you. They're not for you to become argumentative over. It's to help each and every one of us to have a greater understanding of the very Word of God as it pertains to us as Baptists here at Calvary Baptist Church. Now, I know many of you are going to mark up your Bibles and you're going to use some scriptural references and you're going to write these down. I want you to be able to do that. I'm going to give them to you very quickly. I want to give you some things as it pertains to doctrine in the Bible. This is our platform message tonight. This is the foundational message concerning doctrine. Whenever I preach it from here on out, whenever you hear a message, you're not going to hear the word doctrine over and over and over and over. Whenever I'm preaching about one of the other doctrines, if I'm preaching about the doctrine of judgments, you say there's a doctrine of judgments? You better believe there are. And if you don't believe there's a distinct difference in two judgment, Brother Tam, then you're not rightly dividing the Word of God. There is a Bema seat or the judgment seat of Christ, and then there is the great white throne judgment. So if I'm preaching on the doctrine of judgments, you won't hear me all night long saying doctrine, doctrine, doctrine. I'll be preaching about judgment. But this is our platform message tonight. This is the one that we're standing on tonight to help us to understand the next 25 or 6 that will then soon thus follow in the teaching that we're going to be getting started on Wednesday night. Deuteronomy chapter number 32 in verse number 2 says this word: my doctrine shall drop as the rain, my speech shall distill as the dew, and as the small rain upon tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. Bless God, listen to me just a minute. He said my doctrine is going to fall and drop like rain, and my speech will be distilled as the dew. I'm talking about the true Word of God. It'll be fragrant unto you. It'll be special unto you. And Ben, you won't see this is a bore. You won't see this as something that you're boring us to death on Wednesday night. But Tim, I'm still going to teach, but I'm still going to preach, and it won't just be something boring unto you. He said, my doctrine, it becomes something special. And bless God, if we do this right, and God gives it to me just right, it'll be something that you'll look forward to. You'll hate to miss a Wednesday night. Why? Because it's going to be something that'll help you in your everyday walk. It'll be something that'll make your marriage sweeter. It'll be something that'll make your life better. It'll be something that'll help you raise your children. It'll be something that'll make you pray for your pastor just a little bit better. Boy, them deacons, when we get down to the doctrine of church leadership and we start talking about the different roles they're in, bless God, it'll make you love your deacon board. And Brother Teddy and you guys, it'll make you love your people that you're serving, and they'll love you in return. I'm telling you, if we do this right, it'll be just what it said in the doctrine of my doctrine shall drop as the rain, and my speech shall distill as the dew, as small rain upon the tender herb, and the showers upon the grass. Isaiah chapter number 29 and verse number 24 said, they also that erred in spirit shall come to the understanding, that they murmur shall learn the doctrine. Bless God, we got to learn the things that God wants us to learn. Miss Jan, we talked about this briefly in my passing. You said historically that Calvary had had great teaching and great preaching over the years, but very few of us ever slow down enough to teach. And I want to teach for a little bit. I want us to grow, Tim. I want to bless this church, and I want to be blessed by teaching and studying the Word of God. A great preaching will never replace teaching, and teaching will never replace a preaching. But the Bible teaches us, Brother Chris, that we are to be apt, A-P-T, apt to teach. We ought to slow down once in a while and understand what God's trying to do. Miss Martha back there was an arithmetic teacher or math teacher. She didn't study science. She didn't teach science. She didn't get into the grammar and the linguistics of languages. No, she taught math. So her doctrine would have been in numerology, in numbers, in adding and subtracting, dividing. And that's why we got to study what we're going to study as it is the Word of God. Everything we should teach, Brother Tim, should come out of here. I'm not going to come up here and teach you how to change the oil in your car and use this as a guidebook. We're going to use the scriptures to help us. Isaiah in that 29 and 24 said that they erred in the spirit and they come to the understanding. They murmured that they shall learn doctrine. Matthew 7 and 28 says this, and it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. Mark chapter number 1, verse number 22 said that they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. John chapter 7, verse number 16 said, Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that hath sent me. So much to keep going over. Acts chapter 13, verse number 12 said, Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, he believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. Acts 17, 19 said, and they took him and brought him unto Areopagus, saying, may we know what is this new doctrine whereof that thou speakest is? They wanted to know, what is this newfound thing called grace? And they asked that question, and they brought him in and said, tell us about this grace. It wasn't just tell us about grace. What is this newfound doctrine that you're teaching? You said, what was it? They were moving from the law unto grace. They didn't just all of a sudden swallow that. They had to be taught. They had to be moved. They had to be convinced. That's why the Lord gave them power in the early church. Brother, they had the power to help out those that were still yet blind and lame. And that's why whenever Peter and John went up to the temple, they still had the power of Jesus on them. But God, it goes back to Brother Kenny, and you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost come. On that 50th day, Brother Kenny, of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit come back and he indwelled them, bless God, they still had the early church had the power of God, and they were still doing great, great miracles, and they were showing these signs unto the people, and these people said, hey, that we may know what is this new doctrine that you're doing and telling and teaching and preaching. Tell us and show us, what is this thing? And they said, it's grace. It's just grace. My goodness. Amen. We just read from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 2 and 3, that Paul said, Timothy, to preach the word, to do it with long suffering, and to reprove, rebuke, and to exhort, but do it with doctrine. For the time would come that they would not endure sound doctrine. Then he told Titus in chapter number 2, verse number 1, to speak sound doctrine. So tonight is our platform message tonight. I want to give you just a few quick things, and then we'll go to the house. A few quick things that the doctrine, the few quick things that the teaching of the Word of God is going to do for us whenever we get into these different things that we might be able to break down and start studying. And if you've got a doctrine of the Bible, a teaching, a study of the Word of God, and I'm not going to get there, I've not announced it, I didn't announce it tonight, even come to me afterwards tonight, and you can just say, Pastor, are you going to hit on this? And maybe I can hit on that. There's so many, and it's going to be so involving. I won't be able to hit all the tenets of our faith. I won't be able to get every major doctrine of the Bible, but the ones that God's putting on my heart, we're going to try to get to them. But I want to teach us tonight, or I want to show you tonight what is going to help us and what this will do. It will unify Calvary Baptist Church. I promise you that. It will be a unifier. It will be that that brings us closer to one accord. It'll be that that unifies us, Brother Chris. The Bible said that how good and how pleasant that it is when the brethren dwell together in unity, but then we get unified and come together. It'll make the church that much stronger. It'll help us. I promise you, it will help us. The first thing that I wrote down whenever I was studying this was, what does doctrine do? What does teaching do? What does instructing the truth do? It informs us. The Word of God is our teacher. We are the students. So therefore, we are learning. We are being informed to what these teachings or this doctrine will tell us. And what is the definition of inform? It's to impart knowledge or to provide credible information that is necessary to be able to process the truth. So what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying, brother, it's going to inform us. When you start preaching about the doctrines of the Bible, bless God, if somebody says, bless God, let me tell you about eternal security, or let me tell you about my salvation, brother, your mind automatically goes right to once saved, always saved. And bless God, you pull up right there and park, and then you perk your ears up because you're wanting to hear whenever they said they got saved. Or this one over here, we had one come here, Brother Tam, that told us he'd been saved. Brother Chris, I believe you prayed with him. Had they been saved like 6 or 7 times. My friend, that person needs to get saved one good time, and then they won't worry about the other 7 that they thought they got saved. But whenever somebody starts talking about that, brother, your ears ought to go up and say, listen, let me hear this, because I am well informed, because that's what teaching and preaching doctrine does. It informs us to the truth of that particular doctrine that we're trying to study. Man, your ears ought to perk up when somebody starts talking about one of the things of the Scriptures, whatever it is. Whether it be baptism, salvation, or any of the other things that I'm going to eventually get to preach about, because that's the way the Lord's doing. Not only will it inform us, but it's going to illuminate our minds. I can tell already that some of you have already gotten perked up. I see that already. What is illuminating? If you illuminate something, what do? You light it up. You cause it to be clearer. You enlighten it. It brings it into a clearer focus. Not only will it inform us, Brother Tam, but it will illuminate some of these truths that maybe have been so hidden. They're not hidden from anybody. They're in the Word of God, but we've just skipped over them. Why? Because we like to hit the stuff that we know about. Brother, this is going to make me dig deeper than I've ever had to dig. In essence, what it does, when it illuminates, it causes me to get in there and look a little bit deeper, because it will eventually move us from the milk onto the meatier things of the Word of God. It will inform us, but it will illuminate our minds. It'll illuminate our hearts and cause us all to grow closer to the very one that saved us to start with. It'll instill the Word of God in our hearts, that we might not sin against God, that we would walk worthy of the vocation. It won't just inform you or illuminate you, Brother Chris, but it will instill in you the values and the truth that's found in this blessed book. You said, what's the definition of instill? Is to impart gradually, as if it were by drop, by drop. That's straight out of Merriam-Webster. As if by drop, by drop. When you instill something into somebody, you don't browbeat it with it, Tam. It's just a gradual, slow drip. And that's what I'm hoping that this teaching will do over the next several months, Brother Kippy. It'll instill into us some of these values and some of these truths. Maybe they've always been there, and they have been there, but we've just not hit them. So now we're going to bring them to the surface and let God instill them in our hearts. Not only will it illuminate our minds and inform us and instill it, but it's going to inspire us. To inspire us to move, or to cause influence, or to guide by divine or supernatural means, to cause motivation in action. That's what inspire. This Word of God, Brother Chris, is going to inspire us. And I believe whenever I wrote this down, God was giving it to me. In other words, Brother Chris, it's going to move us to action. we start talking about these things, Brother Kenny, it's going to move our hearts. And I guarantee you, somebody going to get the word out of here. Somebody will put a Facebook blurb up there. The pastor's talking about the doctrine of sanctification or the doctrine of this or the doctrine. The pastor's going to preach about this. And next thing you know, somebody's going to come in just to hear what I'm talking about. Somebody's going to come in just to hear about that particular subject. Because they've always been taught one way. Let's go see if this little redneck's got it right or wrong. It'll be the word. I wouldn't dare get up there and do it outside the word. Don't you want to be illuminated? Don't you want to be inspired? Don't you want to be well informed when somebody comes up to you and say, Judy, where'd Cain get his wife? You might as well say, well, go ahead and say it. Had to marry one of his sisters. That's the truth. I'm not making something up, Brother Gwynn, ain't that right? I had to come that way, I hate to tell you. You say, boy, I wish I'd never asked that question. People are going to come up to you and ask you stuff. There will be a Dashiell in your life. There will be somebody that will come up to you. Don't you want to be well informed? Yes. Don't you? I do. I don't want to. Now listen to me. If they come up to you, Brother Tam, and you don't know, tell them really quickly, I don't know. You'll look a whole lot bigger in the sight of them and all their company when they're trying to embarrass you to get you to start prattling on about something that you absolutely know nothing about. You'll be a whole lot bigger in every one of them's eyes. Say, let me pray about that. And let me get into Bible. And study that thing out. And I'll get back to you. Can we meet here about this same time next week? Or can I call you? Can we talk about this? They're probably going to put you on the spot. Because they're wanting to one-up you. So if you could just say, can I get back to you on that, brother? I really don't know. You do a whole lot more service to yourself and credit to yourself than try to buffalo your way out of it, because it ain't going to happen. They're going to call you on it, and then you're all going to be embarrassed. And then the last part of the things that I wanted to show you, this is what I feel in my heart. This is I probably hit this one more than I will all the rest of them. Properly taught, properly divulged unto you, rightly divided, study to show thyself approved unto God, rightly divided. Yeah, it'll illuminate, it will inspire, it will inform, it will do these things I'm talking about. But the last one I wrote down, it's already done it to me. It will ignite a firestorm in your soul. It will. When you get something on TV, if it ignites, what is that? That's a spark. That little spark, that little flicker, that little flame, that little source of ignition, it sparked a great debate. Sure. See what I'm saying about ignited a great debate? It sparked a great debate. It did this. But I'm telling you what, rightly divided the Word of God, it ought to spark an interest in you. It ought to ignite us. It ought to cause us to great. I'm talking about get on fire. Yes, preacher, there's one coming whose shoe latches I'm not even worthy to lose. And the one coming after me, he shall baptize you like I'm baptizing with water. The one coming after me going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and what? And with some fire. And bless God, we get a little baptism by fire. I'm telling you what, it'll ignite our hungry souls to get in there and go harder and further for the cause of the gospel. To ignite something is to set it on fire, is to cause it to burn, it is to set it in motion, it's to cause debate, as in igniting, that spark ignited a debate. Bless God, it ought to instill a hunger in us, a passion in us, a drive in us to learn more about the true Word of God. And bless God, we all need a source of ignition, and the Holy Spirit of God will be that, if only we'll let Him be. You said, you get all that out of just going to teach on the doctrine? I did. And I got plenty more where that come from. Why? Because I wanted to start it tonight. I wanted to start it on a Monday through Friday kind of thing. I know. I'm so excited. I want to do it. Right. I want to get right in here and start telling y'all the things that God's showing me. You said, well, let's go tomorrow night. No, that ain't what God said to do. He said, do it on Wednesday nights. So that's what we're going to do. So, having said all of that, I want you to do me a favor tonight. I want you to start praying for your pastor. You said, what's our initial study going to be on? I have no idea. How about that, Steve? You said you've got a whole list of things you're going to preach about. Brother Gwynn, I've been praying about that. Do I go straight to the act of creation? or do I go straight to the Creator? You know what I'm saying, Brother Tim? You said, well, you got to have a starting point, preacher. Brother Kim, I want to start with something. I want to start with the creation. But you can't have a creation if you ain't got a Creator. So I don't know where we're going to start. We may start with God. We may start with the Trinity, the triune of God. I don't know where we're going to start. But in the beginning, God. How much more do we need to know? How much more do we need to know but that in the beginning, God? Brother Scott, you can come up and get us a psalm. Miss Macy, come over. I got you. Look, the sun's not even down yet. But God said to quit, so we're going to quit. I want to leave you hungry. I'd rather leave you hungry than coming back than flounder you and you never come back.